Grateful, Lord God, to be in your house this morning, and appreciate your blessings already, Lord. We've had a good Sunday school hour, Lord. We've been able to lift our voices to you in praise and a wonderful choir special, Lord. We appreciate each one that's in our choir. And Father, we know that there are people that aren't able to be here this morning. We think of those that are sick. We think of the Herring family with the loss of Jeff's mother. Pray that you'll bless each and every person that's not here in attendance. And I pray, Lord, for those that are listening to us at home, a live stream, or maybe at a later time, maybe pulling it up on the internet later today or later in the week. I pray that you'll speak to their hearts just the same. Your word is powerful no matter what hour it comes. And I ask, Father, that you'll bless our visitors. We're so grateful, God, that we have new faces around here. Lord, we're so blessed in that way. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead me, that you would fill me, that you control my words and my thoughts, give me clarity, give me the liberty to communicate. I pray, Father, that you would help me to keep my throat clear where I don't struggle with that. And I ask, God, that you'll speak to hearts and lives. And we just ask, God, for you to bless our nation. We live in turbulent times, Father. We live in days like we've never seen before. And we understand we're still blessed, and we give thanks for that. But, Father, just bless America. And I just pray now over the next few moments that you'll bless and help us to worship you in heart and soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 23, we'll remind you, if you didn't notice it on the screen, we are going to have the Lord's Supper tonight. Been the first time in over a year that we've been able to partake in that, or have chosen to partake in that because of the whole COVID deal. But I think it's time. If you have a concern about that, about passing of the bread and the fruit of the vine, and I understand that. But if not, it's a special time for our church, and I'm glad to be able to finally do it again. Our services are very brief on Sunday night when we do the Lord's Supper, but it is a very special time. So I hope you can be here and bring your families with you. Last week, we found ourselves in Psalms chapter 23, and that's where we're going to be again today. I began preaching to you on the subject of de-stressing our lives. I pointed out to you that we seem to be in a place in our life, a place in our world, really, today, where we're past the point of return. I truly believe that. With technology the way it is, the information age the way it is, I truly think there's never going to be another chapter in our world, barring some kind of great intervention by the Lord Jesus Christ. I truly think there will never be another chapter where we can have widespread, not a person as an individual, but as where we can have widespread peace, tranquility, quietness, and low stress. Now, I'm not a pessimist. I'm just saying, I think with all that we have today, with all the technology and its advancing, and the information age that we're in, which is advancing and going to continue to double and double and double and double, I think unless we as born-again believers learn to take the steps that we're talking about, and this is not exhaustive, steps to find peace and find tranquility and find a low-stress lifestyle, if we don't make a concerted effort, we're not going to experience it in this life anymore. The days of Grandma and Grandpa, where there were three channels, and you know, you heard the major news, and outside of that, you just dealt with the task at hand, your jobs and your family. Those days are over. We're bombarded with every misfortune, every chaotic event, every skirmish, every division in the world. We're bombarded with it every day, all day. It just hits us. And so those days are over. Let me remind you of verse Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You don't have to turn there. But against principalities and against powers and against, now watch this, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. I point out to you once again that verse says rulers of the darkness of this world. That indicates that there's not just some darkness here and there, but it's very emphatic. There is a darkness that permeates this world. Satan is behind the world system and that you and I live in. It's a system that's anti-God. It's humanistic. It's a system that's anti-righteousness, anti-peace. And so that puts you and I in a very bad position because we live here. And this just happens to be where we're going to reside for a while until God takes us home. And so it puts us in a bad position and begs the question, how are we going to find any kind of peace and tranquility and serenity, if you will, in our lives? And how are we going to remain sane when this chaotic world around us is spiraling out of control? Well, there are answers. The first answer is we have already overcome the darkness through Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5 says, ye are children of light. Remember, darkness permeates this world, but it says, ye are children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor the darkness. So we've already got, in an eternal sense, we've already got victory over the darkness through Jesus. Praise God for that. But how do we rise above the darkness and the chaos in a practical sense, in everyday life, in our emotions, and in our routines, and in our raising of our families? And so that's what this series of messages is all about, learning steps that we can take in our lives that will settle our hearts while a world falls apart around us. Okay, so we're in Psalms 23. Psalms 23 just serves as an outline for these messages. We're not looking at these verses theologically, so don't say, well, that's not what that means. I'm just using it as serving as an outline for these points. Okay, let's go ahead and read it. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Last week we learned four steps. We're going to learn three more today. Four steps that come out of the first four verses. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. The first step to having peace and tranquility and low stress in our life is knowing that we belong to God, knowing that he's our shepherd, knowing that we're born again. I suggest to you that if you do not have that assurance, please come talk to me or talk to somebody you know can lead you to Christ Jesus, and you can have that assurance from there forward. The second one we learned is we cannot continue to crave more and more and more of what this world has to offer, the possessions. It says, I shall not want. We have to learn to be content with what God's given us and quit letting possessions stress us out. Number three, we have to arrange for time of rest and stillness in our life. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Folks, we got to find some green pastures in our life. We got to get still once in a while where we're not, the chaos is not affecting us, where we can just get some good rest. And then the fourth one was, we must steer clear of turbulent things. Stop exposing ourselves to the chaos and try to expose ourselves to more quiet and harmonious conditions. He says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Waters are still, it's serene. We've got some peace and quiet in our life. Let me challenge you and make a recommendation to you. Why don't you try this? Now, I'm not going to hold you to it, but it's up to you. But I recommend you try this. Why don't you, for one week, swear off of anything that is not still and peaceful? In other words, abandon the news and the headlines. Abandon talk radio and social media. Watch only wholesome TV programs or read only wholesome material. Avoid that person or persons in your life that's always negative, always ranting and raving. Just stay clear of them for a week. Try that for 1 week and see if it doesn't give you a new lease on life. It'll change, I promise you. It will change when we practice that. So I got to move on to the next step. That's all territory we've already covered. Next step to distressing our lives, we find in verse 3, he says, he restoreth my soul. We must allow for daily restoration, folks, in our life if we're going to cut the stress out. To restore means to bring back. There's a term that we hear used today, is it's reset. We reset something. We reset our devices, our phones or our computer or our iPads. It basically means to shut it down and let it start all over. Some people are in the computer world maybe call it rebooting. But the ideal is of letting it, giving it a fresh start, letting it get rid of the junk and open back up with a fresh start. I read this quote this week, says, almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few moments, including you. We could all use a daily reset. We could all use a time in the day where we unplug from our surroundings and we have a few moments to read God's word and a devotional time, if you will, if you have any devotional material that you'd read, and a bit of prayer. It doesn't have to be lengthy, but it does need to be strategically arranged where we're not pressured to be in a hurry about it, that we've got the adequate time, we're not thinking about something else. We've got to strategically plan where there's no distractions and just let God daily restore our soul. And if you and I will do that and we'll make time for that each day, God's Word and God's Holy Spirit will do their part in restoring us. I promise you. It will give us perspective for the day. It will give us the comfort we're looking for, the resolve, the sense of direction for the day. It will provide so many things that we need. We're never going to keep the right mindset in this dark, morally out of step, humanistic world if we don't allow God to have time to restore our soul or give us a reboot, if you will, or a reset. Folks, what we have to understand is that it's a battle for our mind. Satan and this world system are targeting our think bone, friends. That's what they're after. That's what the forces of darkness are trying to do. They get in our head. They want to brainwash us with junk. And if we don't systematically allow God to correct that junk and to any kind of wrong thinking that we might be developing, if we don't allow him daily to clear that out, to reset us, if you will, to restore us, to renew us, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We got to reset, friends. That leads me to step number 6. We have to learn to walk righteously. Verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here's where, this is a big one, friends. This is something that most believers today, I'm talking about all of us, are falling short in. Over time, what has happened is Christianity has allowed the world to dumb us down spiritually. We allow things in our life that would have made even lost people blush in generations past. We say things, we listen to things, we think things, we watch things, we do things that are totally out of line with righteousness. We know what's right. We know what God would approve of. And certainly if we expose ourselves to God's word to any degree, we're going to know what's right because he'll reveal it to us. And when we know what's right and we don't do it, that just allows little bits of darkness to begin to overshadow our life. It darkens our life. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus says you can walk in righteousness because when you walk with me, that's what you'll be doing. But we're never going to have a healthy peace of mind if we allow or tolerate things in our life that we know are not in line with God's will and His righteousness. It's just never going to happen. Psalms 119 verse 165 says, "Great peace have them that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Now that nothing shall offend them simply means nothing shall make them stumble. Peace of mind comes with righteousness. When the whole world is falling apart around us, and we can pillow our heads at night knowing that we're doing right, and we've done right, we're doing right, and going to continue to do right, then there's rest for our souls. There's peace. I'm doing right. I don't have anything to worry about because I serve a mighty God, and as long as He's pleased with me, that's all that matters. It's rest for our souls. Notice it says, "He leadeth me down paths of righteousness for His name's sake." You see, it's not just all about us and walking righteously for ourselves, but it's about also being lights in this world and glorifying God through our actions and our living. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and then glorify your Father in heaven." You see, people see us living right, and they know we belong to God. That brings glory to God. That's very important. That leads me to step number 7, and it'll be our final step this morning. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Folks, we have to learn to deal with our fears. If we're going to have any hope of de-stressing our lives and living in a certain amount of peace in this chaotic world, we have to learn to overcome our fears. It's proven to be the most fearful generations of Americans that's ever lived. Honestly, so many people today live in bondage to fear. It controls them. It grips them. It stifles people and hinders progress and hinders productivity. It steals our peace of mind. I'll always like to point out, if you've been to funerals that I've done, you've heard me repeat myself over and over, but I point out in this verse, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That sometimes is overlooked. The valley of the shadow of death. Shadows aren't real things, friends. They're dark. They're hard to make out. They're kind of indistinct. But they don't have the ability to harm us. A shadow can't hurt you. A shadow of a dog can't bite you. The shadow of a knife can't cut you. A shadow of a truck can't run over you. So my point is we allow things to get us all worked up and all afraid at things that have no substance to them. And a lot of it's because we're just listening to the frightened world around us, the scared world that's around us, and we get stifled with fear. This pandemic that we've experienced over the last year is a very good example of it. Granted, it's a very real virus. It has potential to harm. I understand all of that. But if we were to listen to the media and the world around us, we begin to think it's Armageddon. We begin to think that it's bigger than God, that God can't take care of us and He can't protect us. And when we do that, we cease to be productive. We cease to actively honor God and serve the Lord. And you know what the crazy thing about it is? And I don't know whether you've noticed this or not. The most fearful people are the ones that get it. I'm like, I know people, I've seen it a jillion times. People that are just hunkered down, they're not going to move because they're petrified. And they end up getting it. Folks, obviously steps need to be taken. And I'm not making light of the virus, not at all. And you'll find that I haven't done that throughout the course of this thing. I've never made light of it. For heaven's sake, we lost Gene Dramer. Okay, it's serious. Don't misunderstand me. And many people in our church have lost loved ones along the way. But my point is, we have to control our fears and not let the fears control us. there has to be a certain amount of walking to be done in order to get through the valley. If we don't walk, we'll never get through there. And if we allow fear to have its way and stifle us, we're not pleasing God. Because here's the deal. The Bible says very clearly it's faith that pleases God. Faith says, I know there's something out there. Yes. I know there are possibilities out there. I see the shadows. But I'm going to trust the Lord. And I'm going to let Him lead me past those shadows. If the image that's behind that shadow happens to get me, God's powerful enough to get me through it. Verse 4 says, I will fear no evil. It doesn't say that there's no evil out there. It just says, I will fear no evil. There's no doubt, friends, there's evil around us. There's harmful things in this world. We know there's a pervasive darkness. But if God has let us pass six shadows, then He's going to be there in the seventh. You can know that. Thou art with me, He says. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. God is walking with us. Do you know what will cause stress in your life? Do nothing. Hunker down. Let your fears control you and do nothing. That will bring more stress in your life than you ever could have imagined. Fear has a way of building and building and building. One fear, if we fail to face it, will lead to another fear that's probably bigger, and it exacerbates the problem. The first thing you know, we're in total bondage to fear. Look at it this way. If you and I don't learn to walk while we're in the valley, then we better learn to live in the valley. We better learn to live amongst the shadows of the valley. Because if we're not walking, we're not going to get across it. If we're not moving, then we better be content for the valley to be our home. Don't be a victim of fear. Walk, walk, walk. Take steps. Here's a shadow, there's a shadow, but we keep walking. And because we're not walking alone, because Thou art with us, we get out of it. We get past most every thing that we feared. And we overcome those fears by moving forward. Faith, this is a misunderstanding. Faith is not the absence of fear. Fear's there, okay, there are things there, but faith is moving forward with God's will in your life in spite of the fear. It's saying, no, fear, you're not going to control me. No, shadow, you're not going to booger me and scare me off. I'm going to move past you by faith because Thou art with me. God's with me. Keep in mind who wrote this psalm. David did. Not this David. He wrote a couple of the New Testament books, but not this David, but David, who was a shepherd boy that became king. Let me remind you of the greatest, most notorious victory David ever had in his life. It's when he faced Goliath the giant. Everybody, even lost people, know the story of David and Goliath. He was a young teenage boy, but he had a faith equal to a seasoned veteran. He just knew God was with him, and he knew God was going to bless him. And so here's what happened. There was a valley, the Valley of Elah. The Philistine army is on one side of the valley. God's people, the army of Israel, are on this side of the valley. They're assembled, ready to go to war. And for days, the Philistines send out their champion, the giant Goliath, and he comes out and he taunts the army of Israel. He mocks them and he provokes them and he talks trash to them day after day. And what did God's people do? What did the Israelites do? The Bible says they became paralyzed with fear. 1 Samuel 17:11 says, and all Israel, when they heard these words of the Philistine, were dismayed and became greatly afraid. You see, they succumbed to their fears. it paralyzed them day after day. They did nothing. And when you do nothing, you're not going to experience victory. You're not going to win. And so though they had not been defeated by the Philistines physically, they were defeated by them emotionally and spiritually because of fear. Nothing good was happening for God's people there. And God wasn't getting any glory out of it. You see, God is not exalted when we let fear control us. He gets no glory when we shut down and hunker down and say, I'm not moving, I'm too scared. And so that's what the situation was. So along comes David. David was a shepherd boy. He wasn't an enlisted man. He was not a man of the army. He didn't have a uniform. He was just a kid. He was in his street clothes. He probably had shorts and flip-flops, okay? He comes to the situation. He's come to check on his brothers who were in the army of Israel. But he happened to hear this giant, this scary, oversized thug, Philistine, that come to the valley once again, ran his head, talked trash, defied God's people, defied God, and David heard that. And the short version of the story is he said, I'll face the fear. I'll deal with what everybody else is scared of. And he experienced the greatest victory of his life because of that. I think it's ironic, too, that this happened in a valley, the Valley of Elah. You see, David chose to step off the high point he was on and go into the valley and face his fears. He had courage. Not the absence of fear. That's a very real threat, this giant was. It's not the absence of it, but it's faith saying, I'm going to do it in spite of the fear. You see, David had the option of leaving. He wasn't enlisted in the army. He could go back to his sheep. He could go back to the green pastures and the still waters and avoid all this mess. But he said, no, I'm not going to be controlled by fear. And folks, victories are never won when we run away. Never. So David walked in that valley directly to Goliath. And we all know what happened and what he did next. To put it in good old country terms, he whooped his tail. As I've said many times before, it wasn't a whipping. Mama gives whippings, is a whooping. Whooping take place in the alley after school, folks. It was a whooping. In fact, it was killing. You see, he faced his fears by faith. Friends, in a world of foolishness, chaos, and darkness, we're not going to find victory unless we deal with our fears. We're never going to get anything done for the glory of God if we hunker down in idleness and don't take steps and walk through the valley, to walk past the shadows. Christians, there's a lot of work that needs to be done right now. The darker the world, the greater the need for light, right? And we're the light. Through Jesus Christ. We're not going to fix this world. It's not going to happen. We're not going to fix this world, but we can make a difference in this world by tackling the task at hand. The first thing we need to do with our life is seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first in our life and say, God, what can I do? What can I be in this dark world that will make a difference? I'm not going to fix things. I've only got one vote, okay? But I can make a difference. And I can take these steps in my life where I'm not chaotic and I'm not walking in darkness and I am my life's not disrupted. I've got peace. And I'm walking past the shadows. Our church is experiencing what I think is a great harvest right now. Under the conditions that we're in our society right now with this pandemic, this right here is amazing. It really is, this crowd right here. And this is not near the crowd, the pre-COVID crowd that we used to have. But folks, we're seeing people saved almost every week. We're baptizing every week. We're seeing new faces. We're seeing visitors. We're seeing return visitors. We've got a couple of families that have joined recently. We're seeing, I believe, the fruits of not hunkering down and quitting during this pandemic. Not using it as an excuse to be idle and lazy, but using it as a springboard to minister to people and to stay the course when even when we were doing it with a shutdown and we were doing it live stream, we were doing it. And I believe we're reaping the fruit of that right now. And we need to keep it up. We rose to the challenge. We need to continue to rise to the challenge. And then we're going to experience the peace in our individual lives that we're looking for as well. I'm done, folks. It looks like there's going to be one more sermon out of this series because I've got two more verses in Psalms 23. So we're going to see what we can pull out of that. Seven steps. We must be saved. We must learn to be content with what we have. We must find time for adequate rest. We must steer clear of turbulence. Remember the challenge, 7-day challenge. Get away from the junk this week, folks. You'll have a better week. We must let God restore us daily. We need some time of prayer and devotion. We must do right. We need to stay on the paths of righteousness. And we've got to overcome our fears. Let me ask you to stand. God spoke into your heart. These altars are going to be open. I'm so thankful that you're here. I pray that this has been some kind of help to some people. If God's dealt with your heart and He's shown you anything, He's revealed to you anything that you need to deal with at this altar, please do. If you need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to me and talk to me. I would love to share with you what it means to be biblically saved, okay? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just as I am without you.